Well, good morning.
And it is Memorial Day weekend, and it is traditionally a time for everybody to run around outside and get the yard work done and go to the lake and run around and just do the first summertime activities for the most part. But it is also, as I said, a time of memorial for those who have served this country, especially those who have given their lives in that service. I've got just a short 2-minute slideshow. These pictures were actually taken, I believe, on Friday. It just reminded me of kind of the weather is very similar to what we're having here today. So, Chris, have you found that slideshow yet? Your silent tents of green, we deck with fragrant flowers. Yours has the suffering been, the memory shall be ours. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Many of the people who served our country did indeed give the ultimate sacrifice. There is no way we can thank these men, these women, for what they've given. So how can we, all they've given us is freedom here on earth, so how can we ever conceive of adequately thanking our Lord Jesus Christ for what He's given us? Freedom from sin. I'd like to move on to our scripture passage this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 16. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 15. Either follow along in your Bible, there's some underneath or up on the screen. In Gospel of John, chapter 16, starting with verse 5. It says, "Now I am going to Him who sent me. None of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Holy, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only that what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I say the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have indeed sent Your Holy Spirit to minister to us, to care for us. Lord, we thank You that You, the Son, sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And that our prayers are heard directly by the ears of God. Lord, we thank You that Your Word is here for us to learn from, to study, to come to know You more. Father, we ask that You would indeed send the Holy Spirit to move amongst us right now, to illuminate these very Scriptures for us, that we would have the understanding that He, the Holy Spirit, would guide us into all truth. Now, Father, I pray specifically for myself, that as I'm up here preaching Your Word this day, that would indeed be Your Word which comes forth from my lips. Or that anything which is not of You would just sound wrong and people would set it aside as if it had never been spoken, as if it was not heard. But Lord, all that is of You, that is true, Lord, I pray that it would not just rest in the front of the mind, but go to the heart. And again, Lord, be lived out in the lives and interactions of each of us each day. Father God, hear our prayers. Speak to each one of us right now that truth which You would have us to learn this day. That spiritual food which we need for strengthening today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to Him who sent me. Now you ask me where I'm going. Because they hadn't asked Him that question, had they? As we've been reading through the Gospel of John and going through this, they said, well, we don't know the way. And He tells them, but they never asked, well, where are you going? He's going first to the cross. And then to the Father. He said, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. His words here again are the living out of the definition of love. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another. And this is what Jesus is love incarnate. And we can see Him living that out. Now, how many of you, as a child, heard the words, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? Yes, my children are raising their hands. Amazing. I heard those words. I have spoken those words. Jesus recognizes the fact that His leaving the disciples is going to hurt them. They're not going to like it. But He tells them, I'm doing it for your own good. Because if I don't leave, I can't send back the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the One who will come and dwell within you. As close and intimate as our relationship is, this relationship is going to be closer, is what He's telling them. This relationship is going to be more intimate. Because after all, if Peter or John or Andrew or any of the other disciples said, you know, I just need a little alone time. You know, Jesus is just getting on my case too much. You say, well, I'm sure that never happened. I'm sure it did. It's my opinion. That's not scriptural. But they can walk away. And Jesus didn't go with them. There was times where they could go and, you know, Jesus wasn't right there. But now when He sends the Holy Spirit, I could ignore the Holy Spirit, but He's always there. I can't walk away. And I don't walk very fast, mind you, but even if when I could walk faster, I couldn't get away. Why? Because where I go, He goes. Because He lives within me. The Counselor's right there, speaking to me, telling me, Bruce, this is right, this is wrong. This is your Father's will for you, this isn't. Of course, I'm probably the only one that's ever experienced that, trying to walk away from God. And I'm sure none of you have done that. Ignored the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So that will go away and the Counselor will come to you. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. We need the Counselor. Each and every one of us needs Him desperately. We're told that when He comes, He's going to come to convict the world of guilt, sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I got taken down a point in my accreditation interview because when I was asked, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? One of the verses I quoted out or put out was this one here, verse 8 of chapter 16, that the Holy Job, what's the job of the Holy Spirit? Well, to convict the world of sin. And I had a professor who used to be a member of this church, Stanton Richardson. There's a few of you here who remember Stanton. He explained to me and Donna, who was sitting in the interview, that yes, that scripture does say that, but that is the only scripture that says that in the entire Bible. What does that mean? How should we take that? When we have a standalone scripture like that, we shouldn't ignore it. But neither should we attempt to build too much upon it. Because when you only have one point, it's awful hard to keep the balance when you get it up real high. You need multiple points to keep that balance. So yes, it is a ministry, albeit a small ministry of the Holy Spirit, but one that we're dealing with here to convict the world of sin. But more to the point, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that by the name which he's spoken of here, the Counselor. And the number of scripture passages where you'll find speaking of in that manner and in that ministry where the job of the Holy Spirit is to counsel, to guide, to direct, is indeed large. I didn't even count it up, but it's hundreds of times. Now, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Holy Spirit, conviction here. I believe as I'm looking at this, what I'm seeing is that this conviction of the world is more of the world than us. And convict me of my own sins. That counseling, that telling me what is the Lord's will and what isn't. Telling you what is the Lord's will and what isn't. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us that He has so much more to tell us, but He doesn't have time, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit's job to do that. One of the ways the Holy Spirit did that was indeed speaking the Bible writers and having them finish up the New Testament and guiding the council that had put together this book, which we call the Bible, which literally means the book. It was the Holy Spirit that did that, that put this together. Taking that which is the Father's. What is the Father's? Well, the Son is the Father's. And all that is mine, said Jesus, because I am the Father, the Father is the Son. And they are the Holy Spirit. Again, we see the intimacy and the reality of the Trinity, even though we don't see the word Trinity ever used in Scripture. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what is His. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So that's the Holy Spirit's job. Taking the Word of God, taking the will of God, and making it known to you and me. And this couldn't happen. This ministry of the Holy Spirit could not happen aside from Jesus leading us. Because before the Holy Spirit could come and enter and dwell within us, we needed to be forgiven and cleansed of our sins. That needed to happen. Remember, these passages that we're reading are still on the night of Jesus' arrest before the crucifixion. We've been reading this for a couple months. So much material here in the Gospel of John. in those couple of hours between the Last Supper and going to the Garden of Gethsemane and the arrest, and the time of prayer and the arrest. So much going on. We still have a couple more chapters. The rest of 16, 17, before we get to chapter 18, where Jesus, we see the arrest. And all this going on. And Jesus is telling His disciples again and again, I'm going to be leaving you, but don't worry, because the Holy Spirit is going to come. And what you think is good is right now, this will be better. Because we will have the very righteousness of God dwelling within us. We will have the very love of God living through us. We will have the very mouth of God speaking to us, each one individually and as a group. But God will speak to us and guide and direct us, so we don't have to wonder. You wonder, what is right? What is God's will? The Holy Spirit will tell you, if you listen. Yes, it's possible to drown it out. Yes, it's possible to hear it and ignore it. I'm probably the only one here that's done this, but I have heard the voice of God. I had heard the Spirit of God tell me that I should be doing something that, or not to be doing something, and ignored it and gone on. I'm sure none of you have done that. But I have. And the more I do that, the harder it gets sometimes to hear the voice of God. But He never gives up. He doesn't go away. Because we can't walk away from Him. Because once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, where does the Holy Spirit reside? Within us. He marks us with the seal. The Holy Spirit. It's the words in Ephesians. We've been marked for His. And He will continue to work to guide and direct us until we listen. Sometimes He speaks loudly. For me, He used a Massey Ferguson tractor one time, remember? That's why I'm limping up here. Because if you don't listen to God, He will get your attention. One way or the other. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit will make known to you what the Lord's will is. You can count on it. But will you listen to it? Please, listen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have indeed sent Your Holy Spirit to live and guide us. Live within us and guide our every step. Lord, You had to leave us so that You could come again. You had to leave us so that You could send the Counselor. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to leave us. And that you loved us enough to come as the counselor. Now, Lord, I pray you help us to love you enough to listen to your word, to follow the directions of the counselor. That what you have made known to us, what you guide us in, we will indeed follow you. For we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with